You might be able to hear the thwack of leather on Willow because Rebecca and I are sitting out on a terrace overlooking the Oval Cricket Ground because this is where the first compensation hearing of the public inquiry into the post office scandal was set to take place. Who'd have thought it?
Who would have thought it? It's unusual, but it's nice.
But it's nice. I wasn't here for the opening session because I had to do a different podcast. What happened this morning at the hearing?
The first person that we heard from was Mr. Beer. I don't know what his first name
I think
was.
It's Jason Beer, Jason QC, Beer. Who's the counsel to the inquiry.
Yes, counsel to the inquiry. He kind of set everything out, explained to Sowin what it is that he thought Sowin would want to answer, kind of gave a little bit of an overview, and then we heard from the post office.
Miss Gallifrey.
Yeah.
No, is that right?
I
was thinking of Doctor Who when I heard it.
I can't remember what her name was. Sorry, I should have written it down before we spoke.
What did she say?
She answered some of the questions, well, all of the questions that the solicitors, the claimant solicitors, had put in their submissions.
From what I understand, the general gist was everything's going really well. There is no real need to have this compensation hearing. Or is that overcooking it slightly?
I don't know if I would quite go... Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Yeah, it sounded to me like they weren't really budging on much in terms of what the complaints were. The solicitors for the sub-postmasters, in their submissions to the hearing beforehand, had raised a number of issues, things like transparency, things like not understanding the methodology for how these payments are being determined, things like lack of legal advice provided for the sub-postmasters. They have to pay for their own lawyers. And pretty much the post office, as far as I understood it, said, yeah, that's how it is and that's how it's going to stay. I didn't really hear them changing much in terms of their approach in response to these complaints.
Did they accept there were any problems with the way the compensation schemes were running?
No, I think in their minds they explained why it was that things are as they are, and to me that seemed as though they thought that was sufficient, that they it was more an explanation, and they disagreed that there were issues. So Nick, you were here after lunch for the afternoon session. What happened in that?
Well, we had a very perfunctory statement from UK Government Investments which didn't say anything, and I think Sir Wynne Williams accepted that they didn't really have much to say or didn't need to have much to say because, of course, they're not operating any of the compensation schemes. So we went very quickly onto Sam Steen QC, who was something of a star in the Court of Appeal hearings last year. He's the barrister representing the claimants whose solicitors are Howe & Co. And I think it's fair to say that he put the boot in to the post office and the government for the way that they've been operating the various compensation schemes and the way that they're proposing to run the next compensation scheme for the claimants to the group litigation High Court action. He described it as a potential scandal within a scandal. He said that the historical shortfall scheme in particular was being run like a litigation and asking sub-postmasters to provide proof of their losses and damages when much of that proof was seized by the post office in the initial actions against them. And it's fair to say, I think, that he felt the whole thing was wholly dissatisfactory. I've described it as a mess previously, but when it's laid out like that by an experienced QC, chapter and verse as to why he's telling this inquiry, it's a mess. Again, it seems as if the post office and the claimants are poles apart from each other, as they were when the campaigners were campaigning about the Horizon system, as they were during the High Court litigation, and as it seems they are again now when it comes to the issue of compensation. And the thing that really is so striking about this is that, of course, all the lawyers are getting paid, everyone's getting money, the claimants are just getting older and older and older. Some are dying. He mentioned that since he'd appeared before the inquiry last, another client had died. The speed at which that Sam Steen was saying this needs to happen, I think, ought to be coming really, really sharply into focus, because he is right, that is a potential scandal in itself, the fact that we don't yet have full and final compensation for anyone other than those who've made the smallest of claims through the historical shortfall scheme. And yet we had the High Court settlement in 2019 and we had the first convictions quashed in December 2020, a year and a half ago.
So after the hearing, I spoke to David Enright of Howe & Co solicitors, who represent 153 sub-postmasters, and he said that the post office is inching forward on some of the issues.
Just last night, the post office wrote confirming that they would not claw back money paid in interim payments to those wrongly convicted who had received interim payments if they proceeded further with a compensation claim. So that would be a great relief to them, because it would be a chilling factor to someone receiving an interim payment, a wrongly convicted sub-postmaster receiving an interim payment, if they felt the post office might come back later on and take some of that money back again. So we're delighted about that. Similarly, last week, on the 30th of June, we had the announcement, the unparticularised announcement, about the new interim compensation scheme for the group litigants. That is long, long overdue. It is something we've been pressing on for over a year. We're delighted that an announcement has been made. Unfortunately, there is simply no detail at the current time as to what the process will be, what the application process will be, what the timelines will be, and how much money people can expect to receive. So myself, Martin Howe, and the rest of our team at Howe & Co, we pushed these hearings. The hearings have been held. We knew it would focus the minds of those who need to make good what has been done, and it clearly has done that. Now, we look forward to coming back on the 13th. There have been many movements and developments thus far. We expect further developments and movements over the course of the next few days. We expect that Mr. Steen QC will be addressing the chairman again on the 13th to reflect on those further changes.
Your barrister said some quite sort of strongly worded things. Like, the thing that stuck with me was a scandal within a scandal. I'm presuming you agree with that sort of strongly worded statement. Is it been that bad? Kind of dealing with.
Mr. Steen, who's senior counsel, along with Chris Jacobs, our junior, representing our 153 core participants, says nothing without our clients say so.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you that our clients' views are far, far more less tempered than the views expressed by Mr. Steen. They are livid, desperate, shouting into the distance with no one apparently to listen to them, and they want to be heard. And the chairman is plainly listening to what they have to say. He's plainly unhappy with what has happened so far and wants action to be taken.
Do you think that these hearings will lead to enough action happening? Do you think that the outcome will be satisfactory for your clients?
Yes and no. No, insofar as our clients can never get back the years they lost. The years of not being able to buy your child a Christmas present, the years of no longer owning the home you were so proud of. They will never get those years back. Their dignity, their reputation, their pride, they'll never get those things fully back. Yes, in terms of there will be further and more adequate compensation, but no amount of money will ever make up for what they have lost. And that's the truth of the matter.
But hopefully the result of these hearings will be specific steps that will take us a bit closer to an outcome that they're...
But the chairman has made it absolutely clear that he wants answers on the principles of all of the compensation schemes. He wants it out in the open, he wants it clear, he wants it transparent, so that ordinary people, lay people looking in, can understand these compensation schemes, and also to be legally represented at the expense of the Department of Business and Post Office, so they can get the compensation they so richly deserve.
That's a really interesting interview. David Enright is a very committed man. Now, I managed to catch I wanted to catch Sharon and Kevin Brown, who'd come all the way down from the northeast to be here at this inquiry. But Sharon suddenly went mute when I pointed your recorder at her. So I ended up chatting to Kevin about what he'd heard at the inquiry today.
Wim Williams was his normal self, very, very professional. The legal teams for our side on both occasions, the two QCs, absolutely brilliant, summing up of everything. And
I mean, Sam Steen really put the boot in there, didn't he?
Big style. Yeah. Big style. No punches withheld, all given. And as for the post office, they've still got the same stance. There's no room whatsoever basically, this is us. We're still untouchable, and that's what we feel, as though they're not listening. They're still not listening. Bees is not listening properly. And I feel sorry for these claimants who, in my opinion, have been steamrolled into this HSS claim for minimal amount of money.
I mean, there's
£8,000, and I think they've only done that for to secure their numbers for these inquiries, to say, look, we've done it because we've got thousands now signed up and signed off. Yeah, but that's only small claims up to £8,000. The big ones, no, they haven't done anything.
I mean, I get the impression, as a journalist who watches this reasonably closely, that there's a PR job going on here. The government and the post office are saying, yeah, nothing to see, everything's going fine. But Sam Steen described it as a potential scandal within a scandal, this compensation for Argo. What did you make of what... Come on, Sharon. She doesn't want to talk. She doesn't want to talk on the podcast. Okay. What did you make of that post office representative this morning? What were the takeaways from what she was saying? Because her view, I understand, was everything's going fine.
Correct. Her view, everything's going fine. Where's the problem? The problem is their view. Their view was wrong. You know what I mean? Because they're not listening to the people who's involved. They've rolled out this scheme. It's not fit for purpose. Hasn't been fit for purpose. These people with the £8,000 claims, now they're going to come after them again by the half-open door again. There could be another litigation.
Now, you're a GLA claimant.
Yes,
and
Sharon is here.
Oh, Sharon, sorry, yeah. Beg your pardon. Sharon's just... Silence Sharon. She's happy to chat off mic. Chat to Rebecca over in the... Tell you what, you listen to everything she's saying and we'll discuss it later. All right, cheers, Rebecca. But Sharon was never criminally prosecuted,
no,
was she?
No.
So you're waiting on better compensation than the share of the GLO pot that you got. So what are your thoughts about the recent government announcement, the fact that Alan Bates is working with Freeth to try and get this interim payment sorted out, the fact that the discussions are happening at least about unlocking more money for you?
It's good that they're unlocking more money, but leaving here, I'm a bit confused because the way it's been portrayed that there's going to be three separate schemes set up type of thing and practically no transparency between them all. And I think it needs to be all put into one and all these solicitors need to come together.
Are you now represented by Howe & Co?
No, we're still three because we got the email, I'll call it the email because of non-disclosure and confidentiality. We got the email yesterday which we're going to get a letter within the next 7 days for to sign up for what they call stage one, which is the eligibility of your interim and payment out of the £19.5 million. Stage two, don't know yet, because my mind scrambled after listening to...
Yeah, no, I can imagine. And sorry, you've just reminded me, fill me in on what this paperwork that dropped last night was.
I think it was all to do with the interim and payments, you know what I mean? And it was the clawback agreement. I was speaking, I think it was Neil Hudson outside, he says, yes, we got it. Just out on the terrace here, he says, we got it this morning type of thing. He says, we've been after that for over a year. And he says, all of a sudden, yous have getting it, as in three solicitors for the clawback. I think that's what they were pretending to. Neil out here on the first recess, he says, yous are getting something there, what we've been trying for a year, and it's the clawback that they've not come back to if they've overpaid you or overcompensated you. That was one of the main things what Mr. Beer come out with.
It's so strange, isn't it? Because these are legal niceties and legal details, which could end up tripping people up. So lawyers are very careful about making sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
Yes.
But looking at it, sort of helicoptering out, it just looks like a mess. You've got so many different schemes. And I'm not blaming any solicitors for the claimants in any way for this at all. It all seems to be a mess. And you wonder whether it's already almost been deliberately turned into a mess by the post office and the government, because all these separate compensation schemes, all these clauses, all these sort of styles of trying to give compensation, it just becomes so confusing that all the general public think is that, oh, everyone's had their convictions quashed and they've got compensation.
Well, I know friends who we keep talking to, and I walked into a pub a couple of months ago, and a friend who I hadn't seen for probably 9 months, 10 months, he said, oh, yes, I'll sort it out now, you'll be worth a fortune. He says, I haven't got any. It's been all over the telly, you've been paid out. I says, no, I have not. He says, but I'm telling you. I says, don't tell me. I says, I know. You know what I mean? So we're trying to hide something around that we're sitting with a sack full of money, which we haven't. But one thing we'll come to do was when Mr. Steen turned up and says, literally, they're building the fence now, what, even a horse can't jump over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's a very strong statement, in my opinion.
No, I agree. I agree. He did put the beat in this afternoon, and I wish I'd been here to hear the post office representative.
Just in my opinion, again, I thought his summing up was slightly better than the one this morning of Mr. Vega. They were both brilliant mind, but I think he was a bit more hard-hitting and to the point, and he was a bit more, how would I say it, slightly more aggressive.
Yeah, to be fair, yes. Jason Beery is counsel to the inquiry, so he's not representing the claims, but I take
maybe
your point.
Maybe that's why, yeah.
And finally, this scandal has taken me to all corners of the United Kingdom, but I honestly never thought I'd be standing here overlooking the Oval, discussing it with you. Are you going to stay for the T20 game later?
I don't know, possibly.
Well, I wish I could stick around as well, but I'm going off to see Patrick Green tonight at his chambers because he's doing something about the scandal as well.
The mastermind, absolute brilliant. Yes, he was. Couldn't thank him enough.
I'll give him your regards.
Yep, definitely. Yep, definitely.
Back good to speak to you again, Kevin.
Okay. Cheers, Nick.
Really interesting talking to Kevin there, and he admitted that he was beginning to well up at the end of that interview, saying that the frustration and the emotion is never that far from the surface. Now, I don't know whether you heard a voice in the background of that interview. That was Sharon, who refused to talk into your recorder, but was very happy to talk to you whilst I was talking to Kevin. What does she have to say?
Yeah, she was happy. She and I are similar in that we both freeze when we see a microphone. She was telling me a little... We didn't manage to go through the whole story, but she was telling me a little bit about their experiences with the post office. The amount of money that they had been accused, or she had been accused of taking, which I think was 70,000 in total, but it's one of those where it was hard to get a handle on the figure. And about how she actually hid it from Kevin at first. Because it was obviously such a nightmare, she didn't want to worry him. Kind of took me through some of the horrible sort of phases that they went through with that whole journey. So she was just telling me a little bit about that and about how much she hates talking on microphone.
Well, I know that Sharon and Kevin are very kindly coming to the Waterside Arts Centre on the 24th of July, where I'll be talking a bit about the scandal. I'm very much hopeful that Sharon, or certainly Kevin, will come up on stage and talk about their story as well. But just to say that if you want to come see this and you live in the Northwest, then I'll be at the Waterside Arts Centre on the 24th of July talking more about the scandal, and hopefully hearing, well, certainly from Kevin and Sharon, with a bit of luck, and maybe one or two other special guests.
Okay, plug over. The hearing today was really interesting. So Wynne mentioned at the end that just the fact of having it might prompt some sort of further fevered activity around this topic of compensation. And hopefully it will. Obviously, something needs to speed up around it. It was certainly really interesting to be here, especially with the sort of explosive submission from the Howe & Co barrister. We're looking forward to next week, which is likely to be back in St Paul's.
Yeah, well, I feel like I'm switching into Test Match Special saying goodbye here from the Kia Oval, where we've enjoyed an exceptional day of absorbing submissions to the Post Office Horizon Inquiry. Thank you very much for listening to Investigating the Post Office Scandal.
This podcast is researched, produced, edited, presented, paid for and owned by Rebecca Thompson and Nick Wallace.
We are kindly supported by Whistledown Productions, who are letting us use their expertise and occasionally tea-making facilities for free. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.